If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. Y'all might be able to figure out where I'm going. The book of Psalms, the 23rd division. Amen. I'm going to squeeze that orange till we get all the juice out of it, some seed, some pulp, and maybe even use a little of rind. Glory. This psalm is awesome because it actually details the relationship we have with our Savior and the connectivity we need to have with our Savior if we're going to make it in this world. And you know, church, the reality is that's where a lot of us are. We need that connectivity. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but everything I see around me points to the fact we're getting ready to leave this world. God's coming back. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be connected to the one that's going to get me out of here. I want to make sure I'm ready to go. Amen. Psalms 23. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God, add your blessings to your word, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. In our last session, I talked about he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death. Then he says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Amen. Glory. Praise God. Isn't that awesome, church, that I've got something going for me? I don't know about you, but I'm going to have the same problems everybody else does in the world. So are you. I wish those TV preachers was right, and then once we got saved, we would never have another problem. We'd never get sick. We'd all get so rich, we wouldn't know what to do with it. But it doesn't work that way. The truth of the matter is, the Bible said the same things accomplished in the world should be accomplished among the brethren. Many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God, but our God will deliver us out of all these afflictions. He didn't say, "I'm going to keep you out of it." Sometimes we go through the fire because we'll learn more in the fire than we ever learned if we got to miss it. Come on, church. But now notice this. I got something going for me people in the world don't have going for me. Somebody asked me one time, said, "If I'm going to have the same problem everybody else does, what's the importance of being a Christian?" Because I've got somebody with me when I'm going through the fire. I got somebody with me when I got to go through the trial, the tribulation. I've got somebody that can be the shadow of a rock in a weary land. Somebody can be the shelter from the tempest. The guy that can make a river of water in a dry place. And I can hold on to him and know that no matter what happens in my life, all things are going to work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. When a king looks at me and said, "Who is the God that's going to deliver you when I throw you in the fire?" I don't have to think about it. I say, "My God, whom I serve, is going to blow out your smoke. And if he don't, I'm going to eternity and I'm going to dwell with him forever and forever and forever. I'm not afraid of all the devils and the demons in hell, not because of me, but because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the angels of God encampeth around about me." It is because he is with me right where I am, and he's with me everywhere I go. That's why when you read his name, he's no different from us. We've all got two first names. I'm Kenneth A. Stroop. Glory. I've had people fight me wanting to find that middle name. Every once in a while, somebody will find it out. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, you all have two names. Jesus had two. His name was Jesus Emmanuel. Jesus meaning God's Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. Glory. Amen. And boy, if we can hang on to that, we can understand something. He's with me. Glory. In the morning when I get up, he's with me. In the afternoon when I'm riding down the road, he's with me. When the car's about to break down, he's with me. When a doctor tells me I got something that can't cure, he's with me. Amen. When everything in my life's going great, he's with me. When I'm on the bottom, he's there, he's still with me. No matter what's going on, he's going to be with me. And because of that, David said, "Look, I have no fear because God will be with me and God will bring me out." Could you say amen? Glory. Hallelujah. But I want to dwell on the ideology of God and us not living in fear. What does Psalms 23 teach us about the opposition? Number one, evil does exist. Evil is not a figment of our imagination. It's not something we just made up. I had somebody tell me one time, there ain't no real devil. Preachers just use that to scare people. Well, then explain to me why we have so many people hung up on drugs, alcohol. Explain to me why we got young folks that are sending goofy messages over cell phones they shouldn't even have yet. Amen. Brother Ken. Glory. Do you realize, according to statistics right now, 35% of our young people, 14, 15 years old, are sexting? That means they're sending ugly pictures of themselves over the phone to people. I will go ahead and warn you publicly right now, because they're doing it from the sheriff's department and from different places. But as of next month, when it's all set in place, you will go to jail for doing that. It is a law that is a crime, and you will be charged with a sex offense, and it'll be on your record the rest of your life, even if you're a juvenile. It will pass over when you become an adult. And you say, well, preacher, they're not going to catch me. They have the ability to catch every picture and every text you've seen. I'm saying it's Snapchats, snap pictures. They freeze them, and they can catch them. You say, well, how do you know? My neighbor does it for a living. Hello? And they're going to catch this stuff. And, I mean, it's all over the news. You watch it. Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department has dispatched a resource officer to every school to warn the kids that at the end of this month, you will start being arrested and be charged with a sex offense. Amen. Come on, church. See, because we got parents that don't want to be parents and whip the kids and control what they're doing. That's why we got kids making bombs off the internet, blowing up schools and doing stuff like that, because the parents didn't even know what they were doing in the garage. If my kid's in the garage banging around, I go see what he's doing. When my kids go on the internet, ask them. When they went on the internet, I went and found out where they went. Well, they delete it. You can't do that. If you're smart, you backdoor the history, pull it right back up, and then you clean their clock for going somewhere they ain't supposed to be. I went in one day and saw that Alex had been to a place called Dog Pile. You remember that? I went to him and said, son, what is Dog Pile? It was a search engine, something like Yahoo. He was researching something, and he went on there and looked it up. I know what it was, so I questioned him. Oh, come on, church. I'm not going to stay on that all day. Look, there's a real devil who has one purpose, to take you, me, and everybody else in this world to eternity without God. Hello? Evil is in conflict with us. You should not let evil scare you. That is important. We got people saying, oh, the devil. He likes people that fear. He dwells on fear. He feeds off fear. Hello? Amen. You know, and it's really weird how he can get in our homes and we sit around watching. How many of y'all remember the Smurfs? Everybody liked the Smurfs, didn't you? It was made by Anton LaVey Productions, the man that wrote the Satanic Bible. Gargamel, the guy that chased him around, that's a Gaelic word for gargoyle, the guardian of the deep. His cat was Azrael, a death angel of the Satanic Church. And yet we had our kids watching it going, oh, it's just a cartoon. But it was eating our kids up. They caught a dream demon one time who would give them, bad dreams so he could feed on their fear. And the more they got afraid, the bigger the demon got. That is true. If you read their books, they use the same name and everything. And we got our kids watching this junk. We got them listening to music. It's messing up their brain and blowing themselves away. And they don't understand that the devil was a progenitor of music. That was the whole purpose he had. He was the lead to worship. He was the one that made the first musical sounds that ever existed. And he understood music will control the mind. And by controlling the mind, I can control the person. So I got some young people here going, that ain't gonna happen to me. You like the rest of us. You go to mall, if it's real busy, they got fast music on. Why? You will speed up without thinking. If they got slow music on, they want you to meander around the store. Well, that don't work on me. How many of you have been driving down the road, got the radio on, and ain't paying no attention and realize you sped up because a fast song came on? Because without thinking, you... Glory. Glory. Oh, come on, church. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. We need to understand, according to Psalms 23, the shepherd is our deliverer. Deliverance comes not by what we think or say, but by relationship with the shepherd. Come on, church. All this time, you're going to hear me, and I've said it from the first sermon of this series. Our connectivity to God is what makes a difference in our life. Our relationship, if we're close to him, we've got things in good shape. If I try to follow him afar off, or I get a little more distance from him, the farther I get away from the shepherd, the more chance there is I'm going to have a problem, and the more chance trouble is going to get in my life. But the closer I get to him, the nearer I come to him, the better things are. Could you say amen? What are we not to fear? First of all, we're not to fear death. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. And he laid his hands upon me. And he's saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. Revelation 1:17-18. Amen. Sorry about that. Glory. I got ahead of my people in the back. But the reality is if I'm in God, I'm going to live. You say, well, what if you stop breathing? I ain't going to quit dying. I'm not going to die. This body's going to lay down. But me, I'm going to keep going. I'm just going to translate into the next world. Glory. Come on, church. Now, I know that every one of us wants to live. I've told you straight up. Somebody starts to shoot me, I'm going to do everything I can to live because I want to live. It's a natural instinct. Jesus did not want to die. That's why he spent the night in the garden praying. So hard his sweat became as great drops of blood. But in the end, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And became obedient to the cross that he might give his life, that we might live through him. And I know, church, that there's going to come a time I'm going to leave this world. Could be today, tomorrow, the next day. I'm not worried about when it's going to happen. I just know that I know in whose hand I'm holding on to. And I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm going to stand before him in the latter day. And in his face, I'm going to stand and see him. Could you say amen? Amen. I want to be like Earl Hall when he told his son, you've been praying me to stay here. I've been trying to get there for 30-something years. Let me go. Glory. Listen, we're not to fear trouble. Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. He's starting to describe all kind of natural disasters. He said, God, if the whole world blows up around me, I don't have to fear because you are who I hide in. You are the one that's going to take care of me, and because of that, I don't have to be afraid of trouble. Glory. We don't have to be afraid of death's shadow. The valley of the shadow of death. Why? The shadow scare us because we're afraid we're going to get hurt. Glory. Ain't nobody wants to get hurt. Now, we've done some dumb stuff in our life and got hurt because we'd sit and think, you know, if I thought about it, I don't believe I'd done that. I know some of y'all ain't, but some of us have. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but I've done some stuff when I was a kid. You carried me back where I did it, and I'll be going, I can't believe I was ever that dumb. Glory. There's a bridge down on Lake Tuscaloosa I used to dive off of, and I stopped down there one day, walked out, looked off that bridge, went, I remember climbing up the tree and tying a rope, jumping out of the tree. You couldn't even get me at the foot of that tree anymore because that bank goes almost straight down. I'd be afraid I'd fall in and get hurt. Come on, church. Because I'm getting older now. When I was a teenager, I thought I was I was indestructible. I mean, I proved I could tear stuff up. Glory. But I just kept thinking I'd live through it. But listen, we're also afraid in death we'd lose control because we like to be in control. Hey, how about this? We're afraid of death because we're afraid we'll be embarrassed. Why? You ain't going to be here to see what happened anyway. Come on, church. We'll lose love. We'll lose power. We won't understand what happened. But we don't have to fear death. We don't fear a little bit of evil. Do you know 365 times in the Bible you hear the words, fear not, be not afraid, thou shalt not fear? Amen. My Bible said God did not give me the spirit of fear, but the spirit of joy and of peace and of a sound mind. You know what that tells me? I've got 365 days in every year, and I've got a scripture for every day of my year that says I do not have to be afraid and I don't have to walk in fear, but I can know that I know that I know that my God's going to take care of me. Could you say amen? Oh, but preacher, I got to be scared of the devil. Listen, John 1:4-4. For ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can I tell you, I'm not afraid of what Satan's going to do tomorrow or the next day or the day after, because I know my God is going to take care of him. Come on, church. Amen. The existence of the devil. Evil is trouble, and it begins in us. Notice what it said, yea, though I walk through. We get ourselves in junk all the time God has to get us out of. 9 times out of 10, it's because we decide to do something without praying about it. You ever notice if you pray about something and really let God lead you, you don't get in half the trouble you do? We wouldn't have half a divorce in America if folks would pray about who they're married instead of falling in lust and believing it's the real one. Hello? Oh, I got some of you mad at me now, but that's the truth. We've gotten married. First 6 months, wish we'd eat them up. And then we got rid of them because we couldn't eat them no more. Come on, church. I had a guy talk to me one day about being in the church of God. He said, hey, can I be in the church of God, be a preacher? I said, I don't know, I guess, if you're qualified. He said, well, I've been married 8 times. I said, look, you need to go over yonder in the Middle East and stand at a well. There's a dude going to come by and talk to you after a while. Glory. See, I got some of y'all going, what's he talking about? It's in here. I'm going to let you dwell on that in a while. Amen. But the reality is, that's the world we live in, because we're so busy getting ourselves in trouble. Listen, we also understand that evil or trouble attacks from without. Yea, though I walk through the valley, he said, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because what's in the valley don't bother me when I go through it. As long as I go through it, as long as I don't dwell around in it, try to get all around it and do what's there, if I go through it, God's going to bring me out of it. And when I come out the other side, I'm going to have some victory. Could you say amen? Man has kept praying because he gets into evil. Hello? You know, you take the D out of devil, you know what you got? Evil. Hello? Well, did God create the devil? Sure he did. He created him as one of the lead angels. Put him in charge of worship. And then the devil got to thinking so much, he got thinking he was God. You know, it's kind of like the worship leader getting to think he's the pastor. Glory. And the devil starts saying, I'm good as him. I'm going to ascend to the throne of heaven. And now, church, this is why I'm not afraid of the devil. I don't know about y'all, but if I got a guy on my side that can blow somebody away at 187,000 miles a second, I'm not worried about that person bothering me. Glory. And the devil got in God's face. He said, you got to be gone. And he went from zero to 187,000 miles a second. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you can't prove that. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning. He's standing beside the Father when he threw him out. So, just a streak of lightning went out and he was gone. Glory. Hello? That's my sermon. I got it in the book. I bet you on the way to earth he was going, I didn't think that song was that bad. Glory. Amen. But the reality is, that's why you don't have to be afraid. That's why you don't have to fear. Come on, church. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I told you it's in the Bible. I'm not just making this up. John 8, 44, for ye are the father of the devil. The lust of the father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. Because there was no truth in him, he will speak of lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Can I tell you that's all Satan's ever done is lied to man? I mean, let's face it, he's been a liar from the beginning. He can't tell the truth. And we got folks in the church that say, well, preacher, if you tell a little lie, it's all right. No, it's not, because if you lie, you're partaking a part of the devil. Well, it was a white lie. That's as dumb as saying it was a white witch. A witch is a witch. Duck's a duck. I've eaten duck in France. I've eaten duck in Germany. I've eaten duck in the Middle East. And every time I eat it, it was a different color, but it all tastes like duck. Glory. Come on, church. So what are you getting at? Liar's a liar. It doesn't matter how you frame it up. Oh. Listen, evil is in conflict with you. The name Satan simply means adversary. What does Satan want to do with the sheep? John 10, 9. For I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth life to his sheep. You say, what are you talking about? Satan comes to possess your life. He comes to steal all your joy. He comes to take away everything you got to make you who you are. But God said, I didn't do that. I came to be your shepherd. And if you make me your shepherd, I will give you life, and I'll give it to you more abundantly, and you'll know what it is to live. Come on, church. Satan hates the Lord. When Satan gets to you, he gets to God. That's why he likes to go through us. He figured he'd take us down, makes God look bad. Remember this, just a few verse up, it said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, what does that mean? It said, God does it not for me, but because he wants to be able to brag on us. Come on, church. You get to bragging about your kids. You're not bragging about your kids. You're bragging on yourself. Look what I've done. Them my babies. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. I've been in ball games. Some boy go down the field, score a touchdown. That's my boy down there. Glory. Amen. Why? Because that was his boy. He was proud that was his boy. But he also was thinking, I done a great job. Might not have had nothing to do with it, but that's my boy. Glory. Come on, church. See, that's why God does it. We're in the image of the living God. We get excited when our kids do good. God gets excited when we're doing good, when we're living right. He man, Satan come in. He said, hey, what about Job? You won't let me around him. God said, take your best shot. I love that boy. He's great. He ain't never going to mess up. He just something wonderful. And the devil like, yeah, you're bragging on him. He said, you quit blessing him, he'll quit worshiping you. Oh, you see, the devil actually believes the only reason why we're here is because we're going to get something. You know what's really sad? We got folks in church because they're going to get blessed. Why'd you come? I came to be blessed. That's the dumbest statement you could ever make in your life. Because if the only reason you came to get blessed, all Satan got to do is keep you from getting blessed, you won't be back. See, that's what's wrong with the church. I'm not going to go back into it, but the truth is what I said a few weeks ago works. It's all about us. We're hung up on us. The Bible said in the last days, people will be lovers of their own selves. That is where Satan is tearing us apart. He's got us thinking it's all about us and our little problems and our little agendas and what's going on with us. It is all about the kingdom and the kingdom work. And if we'll worry about the kingdom work, everything else will take care of itself. I don't have to worry if I can pay my bills. I just got to worry, can I win a soul? If I'm doing what God called me to do, God will take care of me. God will provide for me. Come on, church. Amen. It's time some of us woke up and realized it's not about the problems I got going on. It's about the God I serve, who can bring me out, who can deliver me, who can touch me. Satan actually made the statement, if I cut him off from your blessings, he'll curse you. And what did God do? He said, well, take your best shot. He wipes out everything the man's got. He goes from a big family to no kids and broke. And the devil goes, he's still worshiping. He goes back and he said, you let me afflict him. Come on, church. I know people give up on God because they caught cancer or something. Had a little health problem. I get tickled. I run into people that I've known all my life. And they look at me and say, man, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm just living right. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. Let's face it. I mean, I came here to pastor, and the Lord been holding me up here, and the devil been taking shots at me, and I'm getting beat up, tore up, sideways. I can't even walk good no more. I see somebody the other day, and they said, well, you're limping on the other leg. Yesterday, I said, wait till tomorrow. I came free to the doctor Wednesday, and the doc come in. He said he couldn't remember which one of us he operated on because I went by walking worse than her. Glory. Amen. But you know what? Ain't got nothing to do with what's going on between me and God. Satan can take his best shot. I'm still here, and I'm still worshiping. I'm still going to praise him because you know what? I understand what Job understood. Even though I can't see him and I don't know where he is the only way, the only truth, my only option, and everything that's going on in my life and in him, I don't have to be afraid. What I got to be afraid of is preaching too long. 2 Corinthians, Satan hates the Lord. When Satan gets to you, he gets to God. Satan gets to us if we have an unforgiving spirit. 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I indeed have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for you, for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what he said? He said, I'm not so stupid I'm going to hold a grudge because Satan likes people who hold grudges. Because as long as you hold a grudge, you can't get blessed. Do you realize as long as you hold a grudge, you can't pray for yourself or anybody else? See, I got some of you going, now, wait a minute, preacher. You got to understand something. You don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter what they did to you. What matters is as long as Satan can keep you dwelling on what they did to you, you ain't never going to be able to pray to God about nothing going on in your life. Say, preacher, you can't prove that. Jesus said if you got aught against your brother or your sister, he said, then take your gift to the altar and leave it there because it's not going to do you any good to bring it till you clear it up. Go to that person and make it right. Then come back to that altar and get in the altar and bring them with you, and I'll bless you both. Come on, church. Come on. I'm getting some sour looks right now, but it's time some of you woke up and realized you're all hung up on what they did to you. Let it go. It ain't worth it. Turn it loose. Your blessings aren't in the past. They're in your future, and it's time we woke up and realize God is in front of me and I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. Oh, you don't know what they did. It don't matter. I've had people try to destroy me. I had to get over it. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't been able to done anything. Glory. But the truth of the matter is, oh, come on, church. That's not even in the notes, but it's good. Glory. Listen, the nature of evil is to deceive, deny, and hide in dark shadows. Do not fear evil because you have the light. What are you talking about? Jesus said in John 1 and 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But God is light. And in him there is no darkness. What's that saying? It says, as long as I got God on my side, Satan ain't never going to slip up on me. Glory. You notice every one of us is scared of the dark. So I see something. Yeah, you are. It's just a matter of how much dark you got to get into before your secondary conscious takes over. When your subconscious takes over, you will start to have problems. You getting dark enough, next thing you know, you'll feel spiders crawling on you, snakes sliding by you. See, some of y'all just ain't been in the dark long enough. You get in the dark where it gets quiet, you'll start thinking of stuff. Well, you can't prove that. And I thought it didn't happen either till they proved it to me. He locked me up one day and said, we're going to show you it works. Next thing you know, I was in there. Man, I was like, Alfred, tear a door down. Glory. It takes a lot to mess with me. But when I think there's a snake in the room with me, when I know there ain't, but it's there. Come on, church. Not yet. And you sitting there, ain't nobody in the room. You're just locked up and it's real quiet. And all of a sudden you feel something. Suddenly you realize your subconscious is what's doing it, but your subconscious mind can make you feel things. Come on, church. You do realize that people's had their leg cut off can still feel the leg until somebody tells them it's gone. And then they'll argue, I know it's not gone. I feel it. But it ain't there because their mind hadn't let go of it yet. Come on, church. Whew. Some of y'all got stuff bugging you, been gone for 20 years, and you ain't let go of it yet. I could have left that alone, I know. But it's eating you up because you're afraid. And it's bugging you. But you need to let it go. You need to get delivered from it. You need to make up your mind. What happened back then is then. That water's under the bridge. I don't need to keep swimming in it. Come on, church. Amen. When I was a teenager, we used to swim in the swamp. And these kids won't even let me baptize them in the creek. You ought to see where we used to swim. We walk up on a bridge, throw a rock in, see if a snake would swim out before we dove off that bridge. Glory. I drove down there one day with Brother Howell, the pastor from Buell. We stopped on the bridge. He said, y'all swam here? I said, yeah. He said, what's in the water? I said, I don't know, but usually when you hit it, it'll get out. Glory. Amen. Remember what I told you about that bridge we used to jump off at the lake? That bridge in the swamp's got the same place for that and up on the lake. I won't jump in that swamp no more. But there was a time in my life I thought that's the greatest thing to happen. I'd get that bicycle, head to Bailey's Bridge, and I'd be offside that bridge. I didn't even look to see what was in the water. I hit the water, figured it'd get out. Glory. If you swam to the bank, you had to make sure there wasn't anything on the bank when you crawled out. But I don't have to do that no more. I'm beyond that. But some of us are the same way with trouble we've had in the past. We keep jumping off the bridge, back into that same trouble, trying to figure out why it keeps catching up. It's because you won't let it go. If you'll let it go and let God get a hold of you, God can deliver you, and you'll not live in fear of it anymore. And it's time some of us made up our mind, I've been here long enough. I'm ready to move into the presence of the power. The Lord is my shepherd, and he's leading me to victory. Stand with me all over the house. Part two will be tonight. Glory. Y'all want to come back tonight and get the four steps to victory? Amen. Oh, I got y'all messed up this morning. I'm going to take you to victory tonight. Because you see, we're going to find out how the Spirit and the Word will comfort us. Glory. Because he said, hey, I'm not going to fear any evil, for thy rod, which is the word, and thy staff, which is the spirit, they comfort me. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. My church, listen. I believe with all my heart that some of us are living in bondage and fear of the very things God's been trying to get us out of for years. Maybe there's something in our heart and our mind that we've not let go of that somebody did to us or something happened to us, and we've never let it go. But until you let it go, it's going to stay there on the books. You ever notice that somebody does something to you and you lose sleep over it? They over there snoring like a baby because it ain't bothering them. And then really, who pays for it? You do. Because it's you that's messing up your relationship. You that's messing up your joy and your peace and the things in your life because you're hanging on to something. If I forgive that person and I get it out of my life, it doesn't matter whether they forgive me. Because what happens to them is their business. What happens to me is totally mine. And if I can get it out of my life, I'm all right. Well, preacher, you've just never been there. How would you like to come home one night, find out somebody you thought was very close to you had been on the phone all day trying to destroy you? And you walk in the house, you found this out, and you open the door and walk in, and there's a message from them. Hey, I love you. They were not successful, but the fact they tried destroyed a great relationship. But it could have destroyed me if I had not come to the point that I realized I got to let it go. Because I could have let it make me bitter to the point I could never really let go and be who I was anymore. I could let it destroy me to the point I could never be loose anymore. Now, I have enough sense that I probably won't ever get that close to that person again, but I'm still close to that person. I still love that person. I have totally gotten past what happened. But there was a few months that nearly destroyed me. Not because they were successful in what they did, it was just the idea of what happened. But you got to let it go. Father, I love you this morning. God, I asked you to touch your church. Minister to us today with your love. Move on us with your power. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.